Hello and welcome to the call. I'd like to give you a little information about how the call will work and then we'll get started. I'd appreciate it if everyone would kindly hit the *6 button on your phone so we can mute all background noises, and that's everyone except our guest. And at the end, I will take a few minutes, and at that time, we'll take questions, and then if you want to ask a question, you'll have to push the *6 button again. Okay, today we have Linda Joy Myers with us, who is our second guest in our series, Writing for Fun and Profit. When we're finished with the interview, I'll open the lines for questions. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dotsie Bragel, and I'm founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be found at nabbw.com, and also boomerwomenspeak.com, which is the number one site on major search engines for baby boomer women. I'm passionate about educating and empowering boomer women, which happens to be my generation. Our sites are proudly sponsored by Dolans.com, so if you're interested in excellent financial information that will encourage you to live a more financially responsible midlife, then we recommend that you visit their site, which is Dolans.com. We're also sponsored by Elations, which is the daily drink supplement that offers relief from joint aches and pains. It's an alternative to taking the big pills. And you can find them at www.elations.com. Okay, if you're on the call today as a guest of Linda Joy's and you're not a member of the NABBW but would like to join, feel free to email me at dots@nabbw.com, and I can send you a link to join for the reduced rate of $50. It's typically $75. And we just like to extend that special offer to you if you're on the call. For your information, all of our past teleseminars, and I believe we're up to around 50 right now, are yours free when you join the association, and you can either listen to them through links on our website while you're working on your computer, or you can print them and take them wherever you want and have time to read the teleseminars. That's just one of the many benefits of the association. So, okay, let's get started. Linda Joy, are you there?
I'm right here.
Oh, good. Okay, if you don't mind speaking up a little bit so that when our transcriptionist transcribes, she'll be able to hear every little syllable. Okay, Linda Joy Myers, Ph.D., is the president and founder of the National Association of memoir writers. So that's one of the reasons I thought she would be a great person to interview about journaling. She's the prize-winning author of Don't Call Me Mother, Breaking the Chain of Mother-Daughter Abandonment, and Becoming Whole, Writing Your Healing Story. She's a therapist, speaker, and writing coach, and she offers online teleseminars on memoir writing at NAMW.org. That's NAMW.org. Okay, Linda Joy, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I love this subject.
That's good. I'm sure you do. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your association and then also tell us about your book, Becoming Whole, Writing Your Healing Story?
Okay, great. Well, my association is the National Association of Memoir Writers. And because of my love of both journaling and memoir writing, I noticed after finishing my books and looking around the Internet that there wasn't a national organization on this subject. So I decided to build that, and it's been really, really great. We're offering a whole lots of membership benefits, including a monthly teleseminar for our members, and books, free books, and discounts on books and ebook downloads. And we're new on the web and everything, so we're really building our organization at this point. One new event we're going to have that's going to be great for everybody is we're planning a telesummit, memoir telesummit, in October, on October 23rd, and we'll be letting everybody know about that.
Okay, so that you want to explain to people on the call what a telesummit is in case they don't know.
Okay, a telesummit is a conference by phone, so that we're going to be listening to five different presenters, but you can do it in the comfort of your pajamas if you like. And it'll be all day starting at 10 in the morning Pacific time and ending at 4 in the afternoon. We're going to have agent, somebody talking about self-publishing, somebody helping people with plot, and a couple of other people that we're still getting on. We're just planning it right now. And so it's a great way to go to a conference, and it's free, totally free.
Okay, well, can you send us information about that? Because I know we have a lot of writers that are members of our association that I'm sure might be interested in that, because it's often a topic in the forum community at Boomer Women Speak, where we have over 60 forums, and one of them, there are several for writers, but a recent topic in there has been about, you know, which route do I take to get published? So I know there are people that might be interested in that. So if you can send us that information, we'll get it in our newsletter, since you're a member of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. Okay. Let's see. If you can speak up just a little bit and tell us about your book, Becoming Whole and Writing Your Healing Story, and what prompted you to write that.
Right. Well, is this better? Can you hear me now?
A little louder. Actually, I just got an email from my transcriptionist saying, you know, a little louder, no, please.
I'm talking right into the phone. Is this better?
That's good. That's really good. Yes.
Okay, great. Yes, Becoming Whole, Writing Your Healing Story is a book that I began writing as a result of having taught memoir writing to people and also training therapists in learning how to use memoir writing as a healing. It was very much inspired by Dr. James Pennebaker and other people who were doing research on how writing helps to heal both mind, body, and spirit, really.
Mm-hmm.
He recently spoke again. I spoke to him then, and I recently heard him talk again about this marvelous research, and I do have links to it on my site.
Okay.
And, you know, what they discovered is that people wrote only 15 minutes three times a week for the study, and they found improvements in the immune system of people.
Ooh.
Who did just that amount of writing, right?
I've never heard that before. Improvement in immune system. And can you give me his last name again?
Dr. James Pennebaker, P-E-N-N-E-B-A-K-E-R.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I thought it was. All right, got it.
Yeah, and he's got a website. I have links on my site to him and to his articles, and also I talk about him in my book and really explain the nature of the studies. There's been his studies, and then there are studies that have been done after his original studies, which were in the late 90s and early 2000, and the follow-up studies are showing, you know, it helps people with depression, it helps breast cancer patients with their recovery. There's really a lot of health benefits. They've worked with many different populations. So, you know, if people want to know more about the research, it's worth looking at. But what I did is go, okay, this is very exciting. Having been a journaler since I was very, very young, as many people are, I knew that it was helpful to write, and I knew it was helpful to spill things out onto the page, but to have the fact that there was research supporting this was just thrilling to me. So I thought, I've got to write a book so more people can find out about this, because many people aren't hanging around the psychology journals, you know?
Right. Well, you know, we hear that it's good for your mind, and it really helps you, you know, bring clarity to your thoughts, et cetera, but I've really not heard that it absolutely improves the immune system. So that's really a really great thing to learn. Okay, let's see. You sell your book on your website, and it's easily visible there for people who are interested in looking at the book and purchasing.
It's there under books and products, and also I have a two-book special in case people would like to also buy my memoir, which is called Don't Call Me Mother, Breaking the Chain of Mother-Daughter Abandonment. And I wrote much of that memoir just to touch on this topic for a minute. We'll come back to it later maybe. But I wrote much of that memoir as journal entries. And I, as I wrote the book, to be a memoir, I looked at a lot of those journal entries. I didn't grab from them, but I picked up the feelings of things that I had remembered, you know, in the journaling. And it's about three generations of mothers who abandoned their daughters and how I broke the chain of abandonment, and also the fact that my mother denied that I was her daughter even until she was dying. She knew I was, but she wanted to pretend that she was young, and I don't know, she had a mental illness. So, you know, and this book is for a lot of women have written to me that have read it who have had experiences that really are hard to find. I mean, I didn't find any book any remotely like it as I was trying to heal myself and kind of cope with this. So it's something that I began in my journals and finished as a memoir, which is what people can do. They can, maybe they don't feel like they're ready to write a memoir, but they can just capture the scenes and feelings and situations, and later they might end up drawing upon them.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into the meat of the teleseminar, and I'll start asking you some questions about journaling. And I guess the first is, you know, a lot of people want to journal. They'll journal on occasion, but they don't really stick with it. They don't have any type of habit. Can you tell us how to create a habit?
Okay. Well, I want to say a couple of things about the habit. One is that I just recently came back from a journaling conference in Denver, and we did some surveys about how many people journal every day versus once a week versus very occasionally. And Dr. Pennebaker had also studied the how often people needed to write for health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found out is that an awful lot of guilty looks went around because so many people didn't journal every day, but we were reassured by Dr. Pennebaker that was all right, because when people did journal, usually they really needed to get something down, and that's very, very beneficial to them. But there really are ways that we can invite ourselves more to do it, because everybody's so busy and there's so many things taking our attention. And one is to first go out and buy a brand new nice journal that makes you want to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if people buy, I've done this, I don't know about you, I bought a journal that was leather bound, mm-hmm. and I felt like I had to write really pithy things in there, you know, and I was like, oh, it has to be so good, and I didn't have anything that great to say, and I didn't use it. I mean, I still have it. It's beautiful. I love to touch it. So you need to buy a journal also that invites you to open it, and that you will also write in it and not, quote, ruin it by writing, you know, whatever your thoughts are or messy situations that are in your life. And get a pen you really like to use. And keep these in your purse, in your car. You can have more than one. I highly suggest that people date every single entry, even with the year, because I found journals, and it gives the month and the day. I don't know what year it is anymore.
That happened to me. That's definitely happened to me. Well, what about people who are journaling on their computer? Like, I have a younger niece, and she's a writer professionally, and she does her journaling on her computer. And I know, you know, maybe our generation does more with the pen as opposed to a PC, but I mean, you recommend writing no matter how you do it. Is that right?
Well, I do. They did studies on pen. There's so many studies done amazingly on this subject, but they did studies pen versus computer. The general thing is it's great to just get self-expression happening no matter how.
Mm-hmm.
There was, if people are working on healing specifically,
mm-hmm.
They noticed, they said that there was a connection between the brain and the arm and the hand and kind of a flow in the body, and it often invited a different kind of writing. It wasn't that one was better than the other. And so people could try both and see what happened.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, you know, while we're on this topic, I read a book called, actually, I met Michelle Weldon at a seminar I went to several years ago, and she wrote the book Writing to Save Your Life, and that's also another good book that I would recommend.
Yeah, she wrote an endorsement for Becoming Whole, as a matter of fact. She's a really, really nice woman.
Yeah.
And it's a great book.
Okay, good. So you recommend that, too. All right. So let's say we get in a habit. Oh, you know, another thing I wanted to mention. You talk about the hardbound books. I've used both, and you know what? I have to say that I really love just the old spiral notebooks because they're easier to plop on your lap and write in. They're easier to keep open while you're writing and that kind of thing. So I know it's all personal preference, and I've used a little bit of everything. Actually, right now the one I have is a bound book, and I'm certainly using it, but I really prefer, you know, the spiral, just an old spiral notebook. But so basically it's figure out what you like best and go with it and then come up with some kind of habit. So tell us about journaling to discover our identity as a woman, because this is really interesting, I think, for especially women at midlife, because many of us, while we're still maybe the same at the core, our identity has changed some at midlife. I mean, maybe we found ourselves, you know, divorced or in an empty nest or remarried with stepchildren or whatever. So, it just seems like things are always changing. So why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think that's a really great idea and a great topic. And there's lots of ways to do it. And one way, one big exercise that I have people do, I'm also a therapist as well as a writing teacher, and it's the question, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And you write down the question, and then you free write all the things that come into your mind without censoring. And when you feel like stopping, don't stop and keep answering that question more. Because a lot of times we have an automatic stopping place that is our kind of unconscious censoring process going on. And if we go past that, we might really find out some really interesting things about ourselves. So that's one important exercise. And then another one is you can write, what a lot of my students do and people that I work with is they write a story about themselves at different ages. Like you can even write from the voice of the five-year-old girl that you were or whatever age or 8 years old. I mean, the world looked different to us at different ages. And you could pick, you know, an age, childhood, early childhood, later childhood, teenage years, couple of points there, and then go through the decades. And no matter how old people are, it's not going to be too overwhelming a task over, you know, over a month or two. You know, you really could cover those decades and write from the point of view of, here I am, 32 years old, and this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm thinking, this is what's happening. And recapture that person and also talk about now. And then another is the reflective. Once you've done that, then it's here I am, whatever age you are now.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you think? What do you feel? What do you notice about those younger versions of yourself? And to write about that.
Right, and how you've changed and that type of thing. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever done any of those suggestions. And yet I journal all the time. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind trying some of them. Very good. Okay.
Well, I think it's because I teach memoir writing, you know, and we're always going into the past in memoir writing, you know, and so there it is. There we are. There
right.
We are in that,
right.
That
it's,
younger person.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm reading a book now called About Face, and it's, I think, like 24 women write about what they see when they look in the mirror. And it's interesting because several of them have written about what they've seen at different life stages, you know, like the 5-year-old or the 14-year-old or the 30 or the 50-year-old. And it's really interesting because it's different at every stage. So that's kind of maybe something else we want to do is consider writing about what we see when we look in the mirror. Oh, gosh.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, how about techniques for being creative with the journaling?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the most important techniques is to not let the inner critic interfere with what you're wanting to say about yourself. And we talk about the concept of a free write, and that's what journaling basically is, but I don't know if people use that concept, you know, it's a free exchange back and forth, free write, writing for creativity, journaling, they're all kind of the same thing. Before I did this talk, I took a little walk, and I was thinking about the journal. I saw somebody's roses, and I thought, this is what a journal is. The journaling experience is like going into the garden of our unconscious. And we want to invite all the little flowers that are kind of tucked away, or even the little seedlings that are down there. We want to invite them to come to the surface and open up and flower so that we can really see them and appreciate them fully. So for creativity, the first thing is we even might do a brief meditation on, all right, I am going to allow myself to speak freely, to say what's ever on my mind. I am not going to show this to anyone. I like people to create overtly what I call a sacred space contract, where they say, this is mine. I will not show it to anybody. No matter how great the idea is right now, I'm just going to let it be my place to develop my ideas. And then, you know, we write about what's juicy, what we love, what we have loved in the past and perhaps we have lost. We write about what we want. And, again, that needs to be another writing similar to the Who Am I exercise. Write down what you want and what your visions are for yourself and your life. And then when you feel like stopping, don't stop. You know, just don't stop yet. Write about, you can also approach it from the underside of, like, write about what you've lost and what you want to create again out of something that you've lost. I mean, sometimes we have very strong feelings about things. We're grieving and mourning, perhaps, for what we don't have, and we feel stuck, like, well, okay, that's over. I can't have that. You know, we get into belief systems. And what you want to do is go ahead and say all that, because if we censor that darker, more painful side, then we're blocking our creativity a little bit without meaning to. And so we can write about the painful feelings or the loss and then come on up to, what do I want? Well, how can I create that again? And this could be a topic about anything. It doesn't have to be about art or writing. It can be about gardening or taking care of your pet or playing with your child or, you know, going to the beach. It can be about really anything. And as long as we don't censor, we're going to find a little trail of stones that lead us to something that we're really looking for.
Hmm. All right. Now, what? I just have another question here for you, because we're going to get into talking a little bit about keeping dream journals and emotional healing, et cetera. And I just wondered if you have a plan for what's to happen with your journals after you die. And I know it sounds like a morbid question, but
that's a big question.
Yeah, some people are really afraid to journal because someone might read it, and what if they see, you know, the real me or whatever.
Right.
And then others are like, you know, I have all these journals. What's going to happen to them when I'm no longer around? Will anybody read them? Should they, you know, that kind of thing. So can you address that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. We did talk a lot about this, actually, at the journaling conference, and I'll just tell you some of what I heard. And because I myself do not have a plan, I know I should, and I'm just figuring I might not die tomorrow, and maybe I'll figure it out soon. But I have thrown away things that I really knew that I didn't want anybody to see already, for sure, and it may or may not be in the journal. And I also have censored myself in my journal for that reason. But I've also worked on just writing things on pieces of paper, and then when I'm done with it or I come across it, then I just throw it away. So that's kind of my technique is, all right, I took care of that, goodbye. But at the conference, we talked about all kinds of things around this. There are a lot of middle-aged women at that conference or later than middle age, and they had plans, and I'll tell you what some of them were. So some women had friends or relatives, close relatives, usually women friends, women relatives, and they had a plan with them. When you find out that I have died, I want you to go into my house. I want you to grab this box or this, wherever it is, and I want you to take it and burn it and get it out of the house as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they have somebody that's going to go in and take care of that. Some people lock them up in, you know, vaults and stuff like that, people who have really a lot. And then some people go through the journal and get rid of the stuff. I mean, it's a pretty big project if you're older and you have, you wrote several journals every year. But, you know, they would go through and really look at that. And some of them didn't care. Some women said, you know, whoever I am and whoever I was, you know, there's nothing I wrote in there that I feel embarrassed about. And so let them find out who I am. A little bit like Bridges in Madison County, you know. Okay, so this is who I am, and this is who I was, and this is my life, and maybe they'll learn something, or maybe they'll be shocked, but I really don't care. So it depends on the personality of the person.
Right, right.
You know, how you feel about that.
Yeah, because I've heard of people putting this type of thing in a will, and it just really surprised me, but I guess it makes sense if you take journaling that seriously. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about keeping a dream journal. It's interesting because the topic of dreams has come up, and dream interpretation has come up in our forum community recently, but also in the past. So I know interpreting dreams is definitely of interest to many boomer women. And do you do that when you keep your journal, or tell us what that's about?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's lots of choices around this, but there's several things that seem to be very important about the dream journal, and one of them is that you keep it beside your bed at night. Now, some people say they can't read their writing, so they keep a tape recorder beside their bed. It really depends on your sleeping arrangements and who else is there and, you know, things like that. Some people have, now that books have these little bitty lights on them, you know, you can just turn on a little
light
and be able to see. And what you do, what I suggest, of course, remember I'm a therapist and there's certain techniques I recommend, and I do recommend that people write the dream in present tense, saying I, okay, this is what I'm doing, I am here, I am there, and make it the present tense, and then just let it come out. I mean, dreams are just, who knows? I mean, you know, we remember part of it or remember a fragment. So first get the dream down itself as fast as you can. And if you wake up and you think you'll remember it in the morning, you won't. I mean, it's extremely rare that people do. So if you really feel passionate about capturing the dream, just go ahead and, you know, don't try to kid yourself, you know. It's like, no, I probably won't, you know, I'm going to capture it now. Then the next day you can look at it. And then I recommend a level of journaling there, where you take the dream and you write what your reactions are to it, your thoughts and your feelings. You might think you know what it means, or you really might not, but that doesn't mean you can't react to it. So you go ahead and react to the dream, write about it more, and as you're doing that, you may end up, you know, querying yourself about, well, what could this mean? I think this is associated with such and such. And everybody has their own dream images. I mean, my house dream might mean something really different than your house dream. A snake might or might not be what Freud thought it was. I think that we as women really need to just go into our own dictionary of images and associations and let the right brain really freely flow, which it will do if you're writing, and let ourselves try to figure it out, and don't necessarily think that some authority figure is going to know more about your dream than you do.
Well, I'm sure you may very well not have the answer to this question, but I'm just wondering, it was a question I asked in our forums, and I actually haven't even looked back to see if someone responded, but do you know a good book on interpreting dreams?
Because I don't go there that much. I frankly don't have one on
right.
the top
okay.
of my head.
Okay. Okay. I just thought I'd ask.
Some.
Okay. Yeah.
I know there are some out there, and if I think of any, I'll email you and recommend a couple.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay. Let's see. So, do you do this? Do you wake up in the middle of the night and jot down your dreams?
Actually, I don't now, but I used to. And I did it for many, many years, especially when I was in the depths of my healing process, which when I say many years, we're talking 2.5 decades here.
Right.
And my dreams were fully one half of my healing process. If I hadn't been getting messages from my dreams, I wouldn't have healed as much or as fast. And it was extremely, extremely helpful to me. And I'm not in that process so much now, so I don't do it as much.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to just say that, especially if people are trying to work some things out, my dreams just gave me the directions to go, the symbols, the feelings, working it out. I'd bring the dream to therapy. I'd write about it. And it was half of the process.
Wow, how about that? Okay, that's a lot. That's a big portion, isn't it? Jeez.
Yeah, it really was. It really was.
Okay, how about journaling for emotional healing? And we've talked a little bit about this when we talked about, well, your book and Michelle Weldon's book, Writing to Save Your Life. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, again, using the dream journal as part of it is a good idea. And then in emotional healing, the important thing is to tell the bottom line truth, to really not listen to the inner critic voice. And in my book, I have a whole chapter on many places that I talk about the inner critic and a whole chapter on how to help your inner critic be quieter and not to really get trapped by the inner critic voices. The inner critic's going to say, well, you can't really say that. Well, your mother really wouldn't like it if you said that. Well, so-and-so will get mad at you if you say that. Those kinds of voices,
mm-hmm.
you need to write beyond those voices and say what you really think. And I think a lot of women, we've really, I mean, I hope the younger generation isn't as programmed as some of us were, as I was, certainly. Oh, I got to be nice. Well, I can't really say that, you know. I have to think about everybody else's feelings. So I can't even put it in my journal because what if they find it?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, that, and okay, don't put it in your journal, put it on a separate piece of paper, and you can burn it afterwards. But, you know, if there is some trauma, some injury, some abuse that you need to work out, you need to be able to tell the bottom line truth. And there are layers of truth, as many of us know. And one of the big steps in all spiritual practices, as far as I know, this is universal, and in therapy practice, is to dig down as we can stand it. Don't write about something if you're going to be so upset you can't go to work the next day. You know, you got to take care of yourself around it. But when you're ready, tell the real truth exactly the way it was. And also have a support system if you're using a journal for emotional healing. You know, I have clients who bring the journal into the therapy session and read it to me. So there's a way that I can help surround them, protect them, listen to them, about what it is they're saying, and we can take it to the next level. A lot of times the journal is the therapy, you know, in a lot of situations. And so you can write, you can, if it's too painful, though, and they've done studies about this also, and you write it in third person as if someone, if it's as if in a novel, write it in the third person. If it, instead of I, you say she was 8 years old, and one day when she went into the basement, this is what happened. And you can give the same name to that person, or you can change the name even. What they found out in these studies, that it almost is healing to write a fictional story, meaning
mm-hmm.
a story that's changed a little bit,
mm-hmm.
as it is to write a direct, true story. So that's why if you need to change it a little bit, you can, and it'll still help.
Wow, that's interesting. I've never heard that before. Well,
yeah.
Now you're talking about journaling for emotional healing, and a lot of this journaling seems to be based around issues. Do you know many women who journal who don't have major issues?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and what are they journaling for?
Yeah, well, they're journaling about their garden. They're journaling about their grandchildren. They're journaling about their house, their pet. What they use it as, and I love this idea, they use it as a journal to awakening.
Okay.
It's like a spiritual practice too. Another area that I'm completely involved and interested in is writing a spiritual autobiography and keeping a spiritual journal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's how to listen to the still small voice inside of us. That might be God, whatever you want to call it, but you know, it's a listening practice, and so you write down what you're hearing. And so there's lots of ways to use journaling as just a very an awareness technique and a spiritual practice.
Okay, and we'll talk about that a little bit, because I think that's more of like visioning in your journal writing, because that's really a lot of what I do with my journaling is I reflect on the day before, but then I also journal about the day that I'm facing and the future. But anyway, you're talking about journaling and writing about, like, your sacred journey. Are you familiar with the book Writing the Sacred Journey?
Yes, I have heard of that.
Okay, it's a real...
I think I even have it on my shelf.
Oh, you do? Okay, because I didn't know if you were familiar with it, but I read it, and it was a really good book. It's called, for those on the call, it's Writing the Sacred Journey, and I think it was, like, The Art and Practice of a Spiritual Memoir or something like that. And the author's last name was Andrew, and I know it's a woman, but I can't recall her first name. But anyway, that's another good book if anybody's interested in journaling, you know, about the sacred journey or, you know, about faith issues or anything like that. Okay, let's see. I should have saved my comment about the book about faith for the next question, because there are also people who are like dialoguing with your body when they're journaling. Now, can you tell us about that? Because I'm not, I guess maybe people with weight issues and that type of thing?
Well, anything, really. I mean, people who are trying to use writing to heal their body, let's say they have cancer, they have a broken bone, they have a stomachache, they have a headache, they have chronic pain. I have clients who have chronic fatigue syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in our society, we're supposed to have a beautiful body, and it should work perfectly for us, so we should shut up, and we shouldn't be moaning and groaning and complaining and talking about our aches and pains and you know, this kind of stuff. And really, I mean, there is a place for really holding what we're actually feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And our journal can do that. Nobody's going to, you know, the journal's not going to answer back and say, yeah, you should quit whining, because you're not whining. You're talking about what is real. And so you talk to your, let's say you have a headache, you talk to your head and you say, you know, why, you know, I hurt on this part of my head so much and blah, blah, blah. What is happening? What is your message to me is one question you can ask. There's a, there are bunches of questions that we can ask our body. One of them, what is your message for me? What is it I'm not listening to that you have to tell me? How am I ignoring you or hurting you or putting you in a position where you have to be this extreme to give me this message that you're giving me?
Mm-hmm.
Is there some other treatment or something that I need to be doing that I'm not doing?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever part of the body it is, you can even have a dialogue with your body when you're not in pain and when you're not ill, but you want to be more in touch with yourself. You know, I know some people who often they're in their heads a lot. They don't even really know what their feet and legs are doing. They don't even feel them. So you can have a dialogue with your feet, so you can become more aware of your feet. You can even write a poem to your feet, you know, thanking them for all the hard work they do.
Right.
All the ways they get you around. You know, we take our body for granted a lot. And so it doesn't have to be an illness-related dialogue, and it can really be a lot of fun and see what happens.
Now, do you know anything about healing, like people who are dialoguing with their body and how that ties into the healing process?
Well, it's the same kind of thing. Well, there are people I have read, but I don't know where, of stories about people getting messages from this kind of, you know, intuitive messages from this kind of writing that help them explore other arenas of healing or explore other questions about themselves and what they're doing and how they're living. It can be a quality of life issue, not just an illness. And some people really find it helpful to really tell the truth about how they're really feeling, because, you know, maybe they come from a family that says, you got that again? Oh, leave me alone. Don't talk to me about it.
Right.
You know, that irritation, because somebody has a chronic problem, and people say, oh, you're just trying to get attention. You know, shut up. And so we need a place where we can say what's true.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting, this whole dialoguing with your body, because unless you take the time to journal and dialogue and be still, you're just running from one day to the next, and you're not even paying attention to your body. So I would think that, you know, the facts that you mentioned, people think, oh, you know, maybe I should try this. Maybe I should go to this type of doctor. Maybe I should try, you know, some type of holistic approach. But it isn't until we're still and journaling that we can even get that kind of feedback or have those kinds of thoughts. So, I would think that that would be a really big benefit for someone suffering through some type of disease or something. Okay, let's talk about visioning in your journal, because this is really interesting to me, because this is kind of what I do, so I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, well, you know, visioning can mean a lot of different things, like the reflecting that you're talking about, and something very interesting about writing into the future. Another study that I'll mention that was done, I think it was by a woman named Lori King, and the book is called, she and other authors are in a book called The Writing Cure, C-U-R-E, The Writing Cure. And what they found out in these studies is that that writing about your best self and your best future self is a way of changing the immune system for the better.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin to experience ourselves in a different way, in a new way, perhaps in a positive way. And it's really, really true that when we are, you know, experiencing something new and different and more positive, we begin to create new chemicals in our body. We create happiness chemicals, really. And so it's very important for us to, and nothing comes, that we do comes before visioning it. We have to have a vision and see it and imagine it before we create stuff. That's how the root of all creativity is, having an idea, you know, having an image. So writing it down makes it much more concrete. Frankly, I wasn't writing in my journal as much, and then as I began to create NAMW, I thought, well, and then other people were saying, all these business people I was listening to said, oh, yeah, I write in my journal all the time about what I want to do next. And I started to do that, and things began to manifest immediately. I was like, wow, I really need to keep doing this, and I am doing it. Things began manifesting, and I think it's because I was getting so clear on what I needed to do.
Yep, I just think it's so true. And I think a lot of people in business do use journaling just to stay on track, and not a lot, but some, just to kind of stay on track and plan and, you know, continue to be productive.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. We have about 15 minutes. How about if we talk about blogging and online journaling? Do you have anything
right
to say about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's gotten much more popular now, I think, especially with younger people, to do a lot of this online, which is interesting and fine. I mean, it's a different philosophy than those of us who hid our journals under the bed, you know. I mean, it's a different approach, which is just it's everybody's choice, you know, about what they want to do. And so, of course, blogging is a short term for weblog, and people can get a blog site free from various companies, Blogger, WordPress, and so on, and journal there. Now you could say, well, why should you? You know, I don't want people to read it. Well, you can do it as a discipline. Actually, I know of a therapist whose clients, a few of them, blog their journal entries and then send her an email, and she gets the blog post for what they were thinking about and dealing with, and she scans it, she reads it, and so that is one way of them staying connected and working together. You can also write in the blog as a discipline, like maybe when you sit at your computer, you focus and you gather your thoughts differently than if you sit around with a piece of paper and a pen. Great, if that works for you, you can blog it and have it private. Nobody will read it. I mean, you don't have to set it up so anybody can read it.
Right.
So sometimes it's a discipline for people. There are some journaling sites. I'll name a couple. One is called lifejournal.com. I met the owner of this site at this journaling conference. It's a software program, and some of the people at the conference had used it. I haven't used it myself, but it seems very interesting. So that's at lifejournal.com. And then I noticed there's some other sites, and I'm not on them or anything, but I noticed there's one called diarist.net, D-I-A-R-I-S-T.net.
Ooh,
and then
okay.
There's another one called My Therapy Journal. It's free for 14 days, and then there's a cost. I don't know what it is. I'm not on these things. But, I mean, if people Google, I Googled a bunch of different things to find out what was there, and I did online journaling, I did therapeutic journal, I did a bunch of different Google searches, and so people can do that, you know, and see what they're looking for, see what they can find. And really, there are a lot of them. There's way more than what I'm listing, but
you know, sure,
people can find them. And then there's links to these to other places, and so where we go, the web.
Right. Now, you've mentioned this journaling conference a few times. Can you tell us about that? Or the website for that? I mean, is it an annual conference? Or?
Well, it's going to be, hold on, let me just get the information. It was done through Kay Adams, and she's a therapist and writer, and she's published a bunch of books about writing. And, in fact, on my site, namw.org, she is one of the, an interview with her is one of my membership benefits.
Oh, okay.
And so you can find her on my site, namw.org, and
okay.
Read about her. Her picture is there, and her links are there.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have it in front of me right now.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sure if somebody Googled journaling conference, we could find that, too. Is her name Kay Adams, K-A-Y Adams?
K-A-Y Adams, and also her name is also Kathleen Adams, same person. She's in Colorado.
Okay.
And she has a website. You can easily Google her and find her immediately.
Okay.
Now, she did the first ever, she called it the Power of Words Journaling Conference, and it was the first time that all the big names and smaller names in the writing as healing or therapeutic writing community had ever gathered together, and it was absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, all of us were just having paroxysms of joy for 4 days about this, because many people have been secretly journaling or quietly writing, and quietly writing for healing, quietly kind of not telling anybody and not knowing people to share it with. Some people that were there are from really tiny little towns where there's nobody like them that they could find, you know.
Right.
And we were all together. There were over 400 people there.
Wow, that's impressive. And you know what? I believe the website might be journaltherapy.com.
Oh,
does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
I believe it's journaltherapy.com. Okay, let's move on because we only have 10 minutes. I want to know a little bit about keeping a writing journal for memoir and short stories.
Okay, great. Well, this is another creative use of the journal. As I mentioned earlier, I wrote most of my memoir in my journals first, and I was shocked when I went back after the book was published, and I saw these stories scrawled out that I actually ended up, some of them I ended up using, because I would write the story in the journal, because I would need to write it myself from the pen onto the paper, especially the more difficult stories to get to. There were just certain things I could not write on the computer. And so then I had copied them into the computer and eventually developed them into stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would carry the journal around, and I would also make lists of different, I call it turning point stories,
mm-hmm.
that I knew were really significant, and I would just put them in my journal. I would make my lists in my journal, my ideas of what chapters I wanted to use. And again, I went back and, you know, the book is pretty much what I sketched out in the journal.
Yeah, well, you know, we have a woman who posts in our forum community quite a bit, and she's a writer. She's written a lovely book,
mm-hmm.
and we're encouraging her to write more and have encouraged her to print her posts, just to print her posts from our forum community and just kind of organize them in some fashion and you know, put together another book. So it sounds like something similar to what you're suggesting with the journaling and then turning it into a book.
Right. You know, you just, and a lot of people now are writing their books on their blog. You know, they write what will turn into a book on their blog.
Right.
They either blog it openly or they just write it in there, and that's another way, again, of containing and organizing.
Mm-hmm.
And then short stories, I mean, you know, you can use your journal for anything.
Right.
You know, as a creative place to begin sketching a short story or short memoir piece. It doesn't matter what. And also use the journal to write about books that you've read and what did you like and what grabbed you. And it's another place to, I mean, you know, I read a book and then later I go, oh, I forgot it. I mean, I remember I loved it, but, you know, gee, what happened? And I don't know why. It just goes into the big pool of books that I've read, which are lingering in my right brain somewhere.
Right.
And but if I journal about it, just a couple of lines, like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe I even want to read it again and or recommend it to people. And so that's another way we can keep track of that.
Okay. And what about journaling as a legacy? And then we'll see if anybody has a question.
Okay. Well, again, journaling as a legacy. So there are in the 19th century, a lot of women kept journals, you know, about the pioneer women that came across the country, and they often just wrote about the weather and the canning and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we don't live like that anymore.
Right.
And so both journals are extremely wonderful documentations of how life was actually lived. So people shouldn't sell themselves short in any way about writing. Maybe they don't want to write anything deep or healing or pithy or painful or anything. You don't have to. By writing about daily life, you are chronicling your life, how you are living it, and the women's wisdom that you have. And the thought, if you can add thoughts, of course, you know, that's always wonderful because people want to know more.
Right.
And these are important documents, and you know, they really, who knows, in 100 years, the way we're doing things now will seem weird to somebody else, like, oh, they did it that way? How interesting, you know?
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's like our forum community has been online for over 5 years, and there's definitely history there, too, just about the way things are done and the way we relate to people and that type of thing. It's kind of cool to look back. But, okay, let's see if anybody has a question for you. And if they do, they're going to have to push *6. And does anybody on the call have a question?
Great.
Hi, this is Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I really enjoyed what you had to say, Linda Joy. And as you and Darcy both know, I do journaling as well. And I just want to add that journaling is a great way to relieve stress. I'm particularly focusing on relieving stress for caregivers by journaling. And I have workshops in which we exchange journaling through emails and only say what we love about the writing. Got a book coming out in December with over 200 sentence starts so people can start their journaling from those. And journaling is just an amazing thing. I know firsthand, and I'm delighted to share it with other people. I love what you're doing, Linda Joy, and how it relates to memoir and how it's the first start. So thank you very much for sharing all this.
Okay, now don't go anywhere.
Well,
tell us your web address, Lynn.
Website, www.writeradvice.com.
Okay,
my
very good.
My email is lgood67334@comcast.net.
Okay, and I'm sure they can get you through the site. So that's writeradvice.com. And Lynn also has a newsletter that you can sign up for, too.
Absolutely.
So, Lynn's going to be a presenter in January for NAMW. So,
oh, good.
We'll
Very
see
good.
You there, Lynn.
Okay. Oh. Looking forward to it.
All the connections on the Internet are amazing, aren't they? How about that?
Okay.
Does anybody else have a question or a comment? Anyone have a question or a comment? Okay, let's see. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share that maybe we haven't touched on? Why don't you give your web address again?
Okay. Yeah, it's National Association of Memoir Writers at www.namw.org. And what I would be glad to do if somebody's on the call and they would like to join us is to give a $20 discount to joining NAMW if you're on the call here with Dotsie. So just email me at lindajoy, L-I-N-D-A-J-O-Y, at namw.org, and we'll set that discount up for you and have you be part of what we're doing.
Okay, and Linda Joy, you are able to offer that discount, say, 6 months from now if somebody joins the association and listens to this as a past teleseminar, right?
Yeah, what we'll do is people would need to the coupons inside the cart only last a short time, but if somebody emails me,
okay, that's good.
Then I'll be able to set it up for them.
Okay, and then do you also want to mention your special with your books again?
Oh, yes, I have a two-book special on NAMW.org. I think two books are $30, so it's quite a big discount. And you can get that at NAMW.org. And we also have a CD for sale, 5 Secrets for Writing a Publishable Memoir. We have that for sale. And as we're continuing to develop, we're developing more CD programs and audio downloads for people to have and transcripts, and so things are evolving. So come and visit us and see what's happening. And if people want to just sign up for the newsletter list, it's on the site there, and you get a free 30-page ebook called Begin Your Memoir Now if you want to just join the newsletter list, and you'll get something that'll help you get started with your writing.
Okay, very good. All right, well, it looks like we are out of time, but I just want to thank you so much for being on the call. And this teleseminar will be transcribed so that people can read it if they like, and it will also make the audio link available in the members-only section at NABBW.com, and then we will also include it in a couple of the upcoming weekly updates that the members of the association receive. So anyway, I just want to thank everyone for being on the call, and I look forward to talking to you soon, Linda Joy.
Well, thanks so much, Dodsey.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.